I'm trying to elevate small talk to medium talk.
Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. And Wheels, we have an emergency guest here joining us. This is a cross 32 Fans slash pretty good joint, I guess, because we have Ob with us to discuss the great Richard Lewis, who has just passed away of, I don't know, Wikipedia says a heart attack, but I saw another link that said it was related to his Parkinson's. But either way, Richard Lewis, we know, has been sick for a while, missed most of season 11 of Curb for that reason, unfortunately passed away today, or yesterday, February 27th, at the age of 76. Av, we'll get to you in a second, but Keeve, you know, tell me your sort of Richard Lewis experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly through Curb. You know, he's been there for so long. He's Larry's best friend in the show. Is he his best friend? Was he his best friend in real life? I think he may have been.
Longest friend. They longest met at friend. Summer okay. camp when they were 12 years old. And so they were born 3 days apart in the same hospital. They were not really friends at camp, but then they reconnected in stand-ups, you know, a decade later, and then they were basically friends for the next.
And you know,
years.
He grew up in Englewood, New Jersey, your hometown, also.
He went to Dwight Morrow, the public high school in my town. So I knew him first from Robin Hood Men in Tights, one of my favorite movies ever, where he plays Prince John. And then, of course, Curb is where you and me and Av, of course, know him so well. 40 episodes of Curb. And, you know, glad we got to see him through the final season of Curb, and hopefully we'll get to see some more of him. But, Av, we knew he was sick, but was this expected? I think this is pretty shocking news.
I certainly wouldn't say it's shocking. I mean, we saw what he looked like in that episode last week, and he doesn't look like a guy who had a lot left to go, being frank. So I don't think, even like last season when he was in, like it was discussed that they weren't sure he would be able to participate in the filming because of his illness. So, obviously we don't know his personal health situation or what it was, but it did not seem like he was doing well for quite some time. He was getting up there in age. I think he was almost 80 years old already. So it's a very sad day. I don't think it's a shocking day, but very sad. Definitely one of the people who was a staple in Curb Your Enthusiasm from the very beginning. I think he first appears in the pilot, right? Not the pilot, but like the real episode one, right?
Yeah. And then another 40 episodes thereafter.
Yeah. He was one of the, very few people were in more episodes other than, Larry, Cheryl, Jeff, Susie. I think Richard is probably next on that list. In terms of the recurring characters, and he obviously played a very specific role in the show. He had a style of humor, a relationship with Larry, an ability to go back and forth with him that I think was, indicative of their real life friendship, and the way that they probably would kibitz together in real life when they were hanging out and just rag on each other, in a self-deprecating style, but also, just busting each other's chops. He had a very strong ability for just like the magic of just like using very specific words and specific references that I can't imagine anyone other than him understood. But it was something that was a very unique ability and that he really put his stamp on the show, and it'll certainly be remembered.
Yeah. The blank from hell, his famous idiom, of course, that is the Yale Book of Quotations, formerly attributed to Lewis. He also petitioned the editors of Bartlett's Famous Quotations. They neglected to do so, but of course that became the plot of an episode of Curb, Richard does claim that he invented that, literally. He was on 22 episodes of Johnny Carson, 53 episodes of Letterman, 12 episodes of Conan, 16 episodes of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. So just, a great guest on talk shows always. He had recurring roles on other TV shows, but it's really Curb is what we know him from the most. And we're sorry to lose him, but as Av said, you watch Curb, these actors are all getting up there in age, and
you lost him.
I mean, listen, this is why this show's probably not coming back after this
for
final
sure.
season.
No, I think this is probably it wasn't coming back anyway, but I think at this point it's for sure not coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the most memorable Richard storyline is the whole kidney storyline from season 5, I want to say, which of course is that was like the first time that we thought Curb was going to end with the episode at the end of season 5 where Larry dies. Of course, there's been several starts and stops, thankfully, since then. 7 more seasons, right, since they originally told us it was going to end. Yeah. In his most recent appearance on Curb, of course, they talked about his eventual demise, right? It's the argument between Larry and Richard about who's going to be in whose will and how much they're going to get. And then that leads to a whole back and forth about who's going to die first. And they get into, I'm going to like hire a nutritionist. I'm going to, start exercising 10 times a day.
That was actually very funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think this has been the first few episodes has been the best Richard Lewis in many, many years on the show.
Yeah.
I think he's like they're very at peace with like relationship, and it's very like it's like having a big guest star come in and like it feels a little different. I think this has actually been his best season.
Yeah, and as sad as his death is, we should acknowledge that he was triumphant that he recovered from his depression and his drug abuse and alcohol abuse issues. He had body dysmorphia issues. He had eating, like he had a lot of medical problems throughout the 70s and 80s and 90s, and he managed to overcome all of that and was pretty healthy until he got the Parkinson's in the last couple of years. And
yeah,
so
yeah, he was in Hollywood for over 50 years. Great run.
Yeah,
we were told by multiple guests that we had over the years, some behind the scenes stuff about Richard, which is that Curb very famously is mostly improvised, right? They have very rough outlines of what's supposed to happen in a scene. But generally speaking, people were only given like their own scenes. Like you don't necessarily know how it fits into the big picture by design. And they wouldn't give people like time with the outlines because they wanted everything to be spontaneous, except Richard would want to prepare lines. And I think that's how he ends up with so many of these just like zany one-liners that are like so specific in terms of the words and the references. And he would like behind the scenes try to negotiate with the other actors to try to get as much information about what was going on in the scene. And like Larry supposedly specifically would try to sabotage his ability to get those because he wanted him to go in fresh. So there was just, even behind the scenes, even when they're making stuff together, they're, always trying to one-up each other and get the last word. So I think that's really indicative of their entire relationship, both on and off the camera.
Yep. So, yeah, we wanted to acknowledge that. Of course, we're sad that Richard Lewis has died, but thankful for everything he gave us on Curb and otherwise.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, thank you, Av.
Yep.
You're very welcome.
All right, Av, we will talk to you later.
Sounds good. Bye.
Our first guest tonight is a good friend of ours who can be seen in concert on November 29th at the Center East in Skokie, Illinois. He will also be co-starring with Alan Arkin in a brand new series on another network entitled Harry. It's always a pleasure to welcome Richard Lewis. Come on out, Richard.
Well,
how are you doing?
I'm depressed, quite frankly.
What are you depressed about?
I'm depressed. I tried to get the Bruce album in my hotel today, and it was sold out.
Sold
and the
out.
Guy was trying to sell me this 3-album set of Willie Tyler and Lester live at Disney World. Was I going to go for that? No.
A quality item, but not the same, is it?
And I'm wrecked, and I went to get a book, and, Stephen King, I'm telling you right now, because I've been in therapy for 15 years. There's a book now called It. It's called It.
It. The name of the new Stephen King.
Is that fair? Are people going to wake up now? Honey, please. I think there's a pronoun in the basement. There's a pronoun in the basement. So I'm going to call my shrink. I called my shrink today. I had a little anxiety attack.
So you get right on the phone. You call him in L.A.?
No, it's a woman. I call her, and it's like $70. Mm-hmm. But it's embarrassing. But I feel, today I got a sense of how incredible these people are, these shrinks. I mean, I'm not a psycho, but I'm sure she has a handful of psychos,
Sure.
And I know she was on vacation, but she respects me. I'm not a nut, mm-hmm. But people must call her. I know it's a honeymoon. I know you're on a raft somewhere with mm-hmm. your husband, but Jeffrey made that Caesar salad again. Yeah. I had to call him. So I have incredible respect for shrinks. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
You always are dressed in a really kind of an exotic fashion.
Do I judge your clothes?
I didn't say.
Look, this is therapy approved. It's therapy approved clothing.
You know what you look like, and don't take this the wrong way.
But I'm sure I will, but go right. on. I'm, you know.
You look like a towel boy in an opium den.
Oh, God. Oh, that's great.
No, that's just a joke. That's just a joke.
It's one of the nicest things anyone said to me today. Look, it was raining out here in New York. I left the hotel. I went to a friend's house on the Upper East Side. He lives on a dead-end street. I swear to God, across from a mental health... it's an asylum, quite frankly. And he says, how is it? Is it cold out? Is it warm out? I was looking out the window. Well, someone's wearing a Captain Hook outfit. You know, it's hard to know what to wear. So I wore this, you know? It was hard to know, but I'm here now.
It's
too late now.
You're stylish, you're avant-garde, and so now you got a television program with Alan Arkin.
And Barry Levinson's directing.
He's very good.
Jacobs is writing. Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
So now does that mean you're not going to be traveling as much? You're off the road a little bit here?
Well, I guess it's obvious in a way. I'm going to be there doing the show, and quite frankly, it's a thrill. Because, we talk about stand-up on the road.
It's tough. It's the hardest way to make a living.
I think it is. It's like a bullfighter kind of thing. And it's a gig from hell, and I'm glad to be off the road. And I'm taking a cab. I was late for the show. And I get a gypsy cab. He had like a... I knew it was a... You know, he had like a 14-foot, like a wooden, like he was waving with a hand, like a circus hand. And I had to go in the car. I never saw this before. And I go in there, and they closed the door, and he had on the visor, had a picture of himself, like escaping from a Turkish prison or something. And I get in the car, and there's no meter. There's no meter in the car. I'm freaked out. Oh my God, I'm going to die. It's going to be an assassination kind of thing. Yeah. And he had a little chalkboard. He had a chalkboard in the front. And we're driving. It's like only a mile, from anywhere here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, how much is this going to cost me? And the guy was like, he wouldn't talk to me. And while we're driving, he's like erasing everything. Mm-hmm. It's 85 cents. It's been $1.95. It's $2.95. So I'm glad to be here. Oh, please. Have so much to talk about.
Now you want to talk about the wedding, because I know you're in town for a big family.
I hope they're not watching. At least I have this cousin, or a distant cousin. I think he lived with a sheep or something. One of those guys. No, I'm saying that he's like a distant cousin. He had six black, black sheep booster shots every year. This guy. And,
He's
I don't even know. I don't even care.
A renegade.
If you can't be honest, what's the difference? But this guy, I went to see him in a football game when he's like 5 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. He got knocked out, and they walked him off the field. He was complaining of clarity. This guy. Okay. So this is the guy who got married, and I went back to my old house. I saw, my mother's house. She had the wedding at the house for her nephew, whatever he is.
That's where you live, right, as a
kid? Jersey. Yeah, Jersey, and I had it should have been knocked down. There was a highway, it went right through the neighborhood, but the historical commission, they deemed it some kind of a psychiatric landmark, apparently, so they kept the thing there, and I went to the wedding, and it was a drag, but, we play all the Lewis games, pin the blame on the donkey is a major, major game. But it was all right, you know.
What are your grandparents like?
Well, right now, I'm not sure. I just hope that they're watching and hovering over the studio now. And I was four when they died. So I was four, he was 98. I was six, he was 111. Yeah. Kept going up like that.
So you...
I got a lot of my shtick from them. Look at this posture. Look at this.
Yeah.
You've known me for 12 years. Look at this. Because I used to go on field trips, my low self-esteem field trips. We'd walk, we thought we were going to an amusement park, and yet we just kept walking around the dining room table. We never got out anywhere. And he was 90, and I gave him a birthday party. Very low self-esteem. I hired a hooker to jump back into the cake for this guy. Very disappointed. What's happening? What are you looking at? Something
else? Settle down.
Well, you always look away. Maybe his best park is there with a bow and arrow. I don't know what's going on there. I like to look in your eyes. You look away. I don't know what's happening. I start getting anxious.
Are we
going to a commercial?
I'm driving, and I have to keep my eyes on the road.
Well, you're the star. I mean, I know you drive, but when you look away, I get nervous, like you're losing interest in me.
No, you're fine. We're going to do we'll do a commercial if that's all right.
You're the king, whatever you say.
I'm not the king. No, we'll just do a commercial, and then we'll be back.
Fine.
We'll be back with Richard Lewis. Welcome back to the show. Richard Lewis is here, obviously, and where were we? Now, tell me, when you go back to your home, your boyhood home, what's it like to be back in the room where you spent most of your early life?
Well, my mother's kept some of it there. No, I don't have a museum. I don't have a Dolly Parton museum yet, obviously. But I still have those baseball. I'm a big, the Mets. I was flipping out in L.A., I'm so excited. I still have those posters of most of the players on the disabled list I had growing up, And I went back. I was a jock, but not. I shook knees. I was on the Jewish Senate team, and the coach, this guy, he was the... He also owned the funeral parlor in town, mm-hmm. and
the coach did other things.
Yeah, he's like the depressed cat. I just we'd have these little sessions, like it was like a negative, like a Newt Rockney thing. He said, like, every game is a must lose situation. He would say, you know, and I would basically just run excuses in, you know, from the sidelines, you know. And the cheerleaders, the Shroudettes. These I always
the
remember
Shroudettes.
The Shroudettes. And they had this cheer. They had this cheer. Beat ourselves. Beat ourselves was kind of the. I was watching the series, you know, they had a thing on Babe Ruth. It really got to me. The babe is the king, right?
Sure.
But I only see, can I stand up for a minute?
Because it
really
do,
blew
Richard.
My mind. Yeah. Only see him do a little knock, mm-hmm. and then he runs like Jed Clampett. He runs like Jed Clampett around. Didn't the mob own Babe, you're going to hit 60 home runs, but you have to run like Jed Clampett, you know? I've never seen him even feel the ground ball. I'm sure he had the Babe Ruth nets in right field. Babe, base it, go get it. And they came in, the women came in, they threw the ball in and kind of thing. And so I was into that, and I wrestled, like my knee when I wrestled in high school. Yeah. And, I'm a little freaked out. I have a friend of mine who promotes wrestling, great promoter. He's got Johnny Gold, he's a big wrestling promoter. Johnny Gold, great
Johnny
wrestling
Gold.
Promoter. Yeah, and I said to him, I said, look, and he's really into it. I said, come on. If there are standings for wrestling, I know, you know, he gets upset when I say, come on, it's theatrical. I said, all right, but don't I know who's going to win when it's like Abdul the Butcher versus, you know, Nathan the bedridden Jew? Don't we know what's going to happen at this point? Don't we know the outcome of this?
Nathan the bedridden Jew.
Well,
yeah, he handles him.
I never say it clearly the first time.
No,
it's true.
No,
I really don't.
I just want to savor it for a moment before we move on.
Well, you could. Well, you're the king. You're
no,
the king.
No, don't say that. We're just here trying to make a living. How about your love life? Anything there we can talk about?
I was involved 4 months ago, and it broke. Well, you know when you sleep with someone, you're in love, and you cuddle, and you have like little spoons? Someone said spoons. Does that make any sense when you spoon with someone? Well, we were into the knife and fork position toward the. And, you know, she wanted to have a child. I said, look, I don't want to have it. Look, if I ever had the tragedy of what do they call it? Quintuplets, whatever they have.
Five children.
Yeah, five, I would be so aggravated. Because I'm sure it would be a blessing for some, but for me to have
a lot of work.
Five, but a lot of work. I wouldn't even give them a name. I'd go, Modern Heirs Dinner. I would call them Modern Heirs.
Now, wait a minute. How come the Modern Heirs joke works and the Senior Wences joke won't work?
Well, I don't know. You're right. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But she would only use. I said, she didn't use any kind of birth control. She threw salt over her shoulders before. And I feel I had a problem sexually. I felt, ever since I grew up, I just, and we broke up, she was saying that she's bad mouthing me to my pals.
Oh, is that
she
right?
Said, I gave her an anti-climax, she was telling my friends. And I couldn't even.
That
I
could be dangerous.
Well, we couldn't have
it?
Foreplay. She wore like a Rufix bra when she came into the bedroom. And I blame my family. My parents, I know they made love, and yet it was like Nixon, like Watergate. They would cover it up.
Very, very, quiet.
Well,
they
didn't want to let us hear
sure.
that they were screaming.
Yeah.
My father would go, that's gin. He would say, that's gin. So I'm going. I got to go out of town. I got a gig. I got to go to the doctor.
Okay. November 29, he will be Center East in Skokie, Illinois.
With Kenny Rankin, the 29th of November.
You'll be having Thanksgiving in Skokie.
I will have that, and I'm doing a Showtime special, No Life to Live,
and this
Alan Arkin thing. I'm very excited about
Well, we'll look for that.
Anyway,
it's called
Harry.
Nice to see you, Richard.
Thank you.